Most of you here received a letter from me this past week. And for those of you who didn't, I would like to read the letter just so that we are all on the same page. To the saints at Brandywine Valley Baptist Church, Carol and I want to share with you an important decision we have made. After more than a year of prayer and discussion, we believe it is time to prepare BVBC for the day I retire as senior pastor of BVBC. I have asked the Board of Deacons to set in motion the board's succession plan to find a new senior pastor. They have agreed to honor our wishes and will soon explain to you the path forward. Setting that plan in motion at this time is good for BVBC. We have the opportunity to make an orderly transition to the next senior pastor. The search process could possibly take more than a year, so the board has asked me to continue my ministry for the foreseeable future. Now, I know only one way to do ministry. In the words of Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Please pray for the Holy Spirit's guidance in the months ahead. As BVBC goes forward together, we can sustain our Spirit-given momentum. Carol and I love BVBC. 33 of our 48 years in pastoral ministry have been invested here. We have you in our heart. Let's do what comes next really well together with deep affection. Pastor Bo. I suppose this is one of those letters I don't ever want to write. It didn't make it any easier that the board left the decision entirely with Carol and me, and the well-being of this church is the reason why we asked them to set this process in motion. And so we're off and running. I don't have a retirement date, and I will continue here doing what I've been doing for years without much change, but change will come. And I'd like to set that change in context today. On one side, in the context of the larger story of this church, and on the other hand, in the context of the wisdom and fatherly care of our Lord. The birth of this church, like most births, was accompanied with great pain. 300 people left Emmanuel Baptist Church in the early part of 1969 over disagreements about theology. They then began to meet in homes and in time rented space in Friends School in Alapocas Woods. And they called themselves at that time the Baptist Fellowship Church. And they held Bible studies, they supported missions, They did all the things that churches do. Two missionaries each gave the church 1 year as the first interim pastors of this church. In 1973, the church called its first full-time pastor, Reverend Dan Meyer. After less than 2 years, Dan left this ministry to go elsewhere. And they formed a search committee to find their senior pastor. They had a search committee of 5 people, and they found a candidate who looked like the cat's meow. I mean, this man was winsome, dynamic, full of ideas and hope. And the search committee had made a fateful decision together that they would present a candidate to the board only if it was unanimous. And so they voted on this prospective candidate, and the vote was 4-1. Alice Cochran, the only woman on the search team, said no. Now, you don't know Alice Cochran. Alice was soft-spoken. She was gentle. She made the best Swedish blueberry pancakes that you can imagine, and she was tough. And she didn't change her mind. And so the search committee could only go back to the board and say, we can't agree on a candidate. And you got to understand that after 5 years of meeting in homes and school and setting up and taking down Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, wondering sometime where was the custodian who's supposed to open the building, the shine had worn off of being a new church. And the Board of Deacons met during some month during 1974, and a member of the board made a motion to disband this church. In the grace of God, there was no second, and the board tabled the motion until the next month, agreed to think about it and to pray, and then they came back together the following month, and in the interim, the Lord God did a work in their hearts. And what they discovered was, and what they said was, our problem is not that we can't call the person we think should be our next senior pastor. Our real problem is we have animosity and sometimes real bitterness toward our fellow Christians at Emmanuel Baptist Church. And maybe they have that toward us, and we can't go forward until we at least attempt reconciliation. And so in an act for both boards that was humble and humbling, the boards of the two congregations got together and they actually reconciled. They also knew at that point that they were going to have to get the two congregations together. And they did that. In the sanctuary at Emmanuel Baptist Church on Pennsylvania Avenue and Green Hill Avenue. And the place was packed of all times on a Saturday night. And that's where Carol and I came into the story. The search committee was chaired by Howard Gerlach, and Howard was at our home in central New York at the time this meeting was going on. He told us all about the process that had happened, and the meeting that was happening on that Saturday night, and we joined hundreds of other people in praying for the reconciliation of those two congregations. The meeting between the two congregations, by all accounts, was frank, painfully frank. And the only measure of the outcome I could ever get after we came here was that people who talked to us from this congregation about Emmanuel never to my face ever said a bad word about anybody at Emmanuel Baptist Church. Dot Taylor, one of the charter members of Baptist Fellowship Church, expressed the sentiments of many in our church and many at Emmanuel Baptist when she said, "Leaving Emmanuel was harder than burying my husband." But reconciliation happened, and the church never looked back, and all of a sudden, 20 years of fruitful ministry were underway. So when the future seems uncertain and even dark, let's remember the word of the Lord through Isaiah. "Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases power to the faint. Youth grow tired and weary. Even young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And so Brandywine prospered. We saw people come to know Christ and become followers of Christ. People's began to grow as disciples. We had to accommodate the growth, and we built our first building. We hired our first full-time additional staff and part-time staff. We went to two services. We hired more staff in 1984 and 1985. And then in 1985, a change came to this church. I accepted a call to be the senior pastor at Hinson Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Within a year, the church had called a new youth pastor and a new senior pastor, and the Reverend Harry Kilbride, and both of these new staff brought fresh ideas and fresh energy to the ministry, and the church prospered. Pastor Kilbride was a distinguished preacher and had a distinguished radio ministry. And in 1990, the unexpected happened here and there. Here, Pastor Kilbride resigned as the pastor of Brandywine Valley, and almost the same time, I resigned as the senior pastor at Hinson Baptist Church in Portland. There followed a year of some uncomfortable negotiations and processes, the outcome of which was that in August of 1991, Carol and I returned here for me to be the senior pastor of the church. I had changed. This church had changed. The world was changing. The giant chemical companies of Wilmington, Delaware were beginning to do something that has become standard in American business. They were downsizing. And I found myself ministering to a lot of 50-year-old men who were sure they were going to live out their careers in their spot in DuPont or ICI Americas or Hercules or Atlas. And there they were, nice golden parachute and nowhere to go. It was a very painful time for a lot of people, and the pain, for many reasons, entered Brandywine. 1993 was the darkest year in my experience in this church. And I am really grateful for Paul Chubb, who is now with the Lord, who became the chairman of the board and guided Brandywine Valley through the next 3 years and helped to give us stability, especially in 1994. And then at the end of September of 1994, I got a letter from Dot Taylor. Remember her? Now Dot Simon. She had remarried. And I've kept that letter, and I wanted to read it to you. It's dated September 30, 1994. She wrote, "Last night I had a dream. Before going to bed, I read several articles in Decision Magazine, and maybe this had something to do with my very vivid dream. I dreamed we had a large all-men rally in our church. There was a men's quartet and trumpet duet. The congregational singing was wonderful. There was a very dynamic speaker. Did not know him. He spoke on daily walk with the Lord, prayer life, how to cope with stress, family values. And as I looked over the audience, I saw there these men very clearly witnessing to others. Dave Cornett, Roland Burgess, Bob Hosan, Bob Wardell, Tom Schmelzer, Jeff Plazer, Howard Gerlach. I then woke with a start. I very rarely dream. Does this dream have a meaning? Dot Simon." I said, "Dot, I am no Joseph. I don't know. We're going to have to wait." Nobody expected that 1995 would bring a visitation from God to this congregation that more than fulfilled Dot Simon's dream. Labor Day weekend of 1995, this church took 130 men and three buses to RFK Stadium in Washington for a Promise Keepers stadium event. It transformed our church. I can still remember Gene Onges coming back and on several different occasions saying, "What just happened in Washington?" And although we couldn't see it in the moment, those men brought back a new heart for this congregation. Men in this church started to care about each other. We actually formed, within a short period of time, 10 Promise Keeper groups, some of which still exist. A new spirit and purpose, which we had been missing for years, filled our church. And we couldn't believe it. Our future suddenly opened up again, and we never looked back. So when the future seems uncertain and even dark, let's remember the word of the Lord through Isaiah. "Why do you say, O Jacob, or complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength for the weary and increases power for the weak. Even youth grows tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." And the future opened for us. It was astounding to watch it unfold year by year. We went from 2 worship services to 3 and then to 4. We added new pastoral staff. Between 1999 and 2009, we completely rebuilt 98% of our church facility. And the last 7 of those years have been dangerous years as well as exciting. And no year was more difficult than 2013, as we all know here. And now here we are, embarking on the process of beginning to seek my successor as the next senior pastor of the church. No more significant process will we experience, and most larger churches find that to be the truth. So as we embark on this, we can do what comes next really well together if we draw on that power in our souls which Christ has awakened. Our faith. We can trust God to guide this congregation through the transition to come in a way that brings honor to God. And when the future seems uncertain and even dark, let's remember the word of the Lord through Isaiah. "Why do you say, O Jacob, or complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord and my cause disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired and weary. And his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. He increases power to the weak. Now, even youth grow tired and weary, and even young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And I wanted to offer you two ways that your trust in God can show itself by what you do. First of all, in conversations about the process and the coming future senior pastor, I hope you will learn to say to each other, God is going to do something good here. I can't wait to see what it is. If that message goes viral in this congregation, then our faith will be strengthened, and there will be a hopeful foundation laid for the next senior pastor. Second, will you let me continue to do ministry as long as I'm here? I got to tell you, people, I am not a coaster. I will not coast through the end of my ministry. I am full of ideas, and I have way more energy than I should. So, let's do ministry. We can celebrate later. So why don't we pray and ask God to help us have that kind of trust and do that kind of ministry together. Lord God, almighty and everlasting Father, you are good to us. By your unmerited favor, you have brought this church to this point in its life. And Lord, we know that whatever we did in the past that got us to this point, a lot of it is not going to be good enough for what we face in the future. So Lord, we pray that you would fill us first with confidence in you, that you're going to provide for us. You're going to open new doors and new windows for us to see and to walk through and to do ministry that's effective in the next 10 years. And Lord, help us here and now to do that ministry together. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.